I was going to start in the book of Acts tonight, but it seems better, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is going to be an Acts church. This is going to be an Acts church. This is going to be an Acts of the Holy Ghost. You know who the book of Acts is really about? It's about the Holy Ghost. Luke wrote Acts, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke. And in Luke, he mentions the Holy Spirit more than any other gospel. I think it's like 5 and 6 and 3 for the other three gospels. And he mentions the Holy Ghost 13 times. And 40 times in the book of Acts. So just his writings alone, Luke actually talks more about the Holy Spirit than anybody else. Isn't that interesting? He mentions the Holy Spirit 53 times. The Holy Spirit is mentioned by Holy Spirit 80 times. It's either 80 or 88 times in the New Testament. So he's got a large monopoly on talk about the Holy Spirit. So since we're here talking about the Holy Spirit, let's talk a little bit about the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now concerning what comes from the Spirit, brothers, I do not want you to be unaware. So this is Paul writing, and his first concern about the Holy Spirit is that people not be unaware. So, and if we believe that Paul is hearing from God and that he's led by God, then we could say one of God's biggest concerns is that we not be unaware of the things that come from the Spirit, or the things pertaining to the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, or the acts of the Spirit. He says, you know, when you were pagans, you were led off to the idols that could not speak. Therefore, I am informing you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is cursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The only way that anybody can confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the only way that anybody can confess that Jesus is Lord is by the Holy Spirit on the inside of them. If you don't have the Holy Ghost in you, you're not going to say Jesus is the Messiah. You're not going to say he's Lord. Now, there are a lot of people who have a lot of oppressions with them, things that they bring from the world and fleshly, carnal things that were linked to. Sometimes you'd question, you know, is that person really saved? But the qualifier is, you can't say Jesus is Lord without the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit dwells in all those who call on the name of Jesus for salvation. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. There are different activities, but the same God activates each gift in each person. So here we see different gifts, same Spirit, different ministries, same Lord, different activities, same God. How I operate in a spiritual gift is not going to be just like Kathy. We've been together for 20 years, married 18 years. It's 18 years this next one, right? Or is it 19? It's going to be 19 years, so coming on 21 years in February since we started dating. And we're still very different. Our goal is the same thing. Our approach to the goal is not always identical. And sometimes we butt heads over approach. But then, usually me, I have to back down because I'm, you know, the one butting heads. Because Kathy's like, I don't want to, you know. I'm like, well, you just don't understand. I'm very zealous about this. And you know, she's more laid back about it. But our goal is the same thing. With our kids, the kids are each different. I mean, Faith is really laid back and mellow, but she has a certain, what would you say? She's laid back and mellow, but when she needs you a certain way, you can't not do that. Yes, she has certain convictions over things. I mean, she gets up and she reads her Bible. I saw just recently, and this is a gift of the Spirit in her. She doesn't know how to play guitar, and she's got to be 7 or 8, 7 and a half, and she's got this little pink guitar. And I videotaped her on my phone, and I shared it a couple days ago on Facebook because it came up as a memory. And it's her, and she's got this little guitar, and she's singing about the rapture. My little 7 and a half-year-old is singing about the rapture. This girl loves the rapture. She loves talking about Jesus returning. I mean, she just loves it. She loves to get out, and she loves to pray in tongues. She used to really do it a lot. She had this playhouse at my dad's house, and she'd get out there, and you're like, what is that sound? And you walk outside. It's faith, and she's praying in tongues. You know, at the top of her lungs outside. You know, I mean, she's totally uninhibited. Not everybody will do that. And people have different reasons. Well, you know, tongues isn't for the church. It's for home. No, it's not. It's for everywhere. There are different kinds of tongues. Like, you know, our sister over here, she gave a word in tongues, and I'm waiting because there should be an interpretation with tongues. And I know she knows that. And I'm waiting, is it going to be me? Is it going to be someone else? Is it going to be her? You know, because there's got to be an interpretation. She said, Paul said, with tongues, there needs to be an interpretation. Otherwise, you don't need to stand up in the middle of a sanctuary. You don't need to stand up in the middle of the sanctuary just to speak really loud in tongues, just to make a spectacle. Because that's what that is. If you just speak up really loud in the middle of service, you know, I've seen people do that. You know, they just can't control themselves in the middle of a service. You know, because they just, woo, I got the Holy Ghost. You know, well, the Holy Ghost also comes with order. Right? And so I'm waiting for that. And, you know, I've a couple times recently, I've prayed in tongues. I said, okay, Kathy, give me a word. And she's like, I don't have it. I'm like, yeah, you do. Come on. We had this one gal. She was an instructor at Rhema. And she said, Brother Jim Hockaday was leading worship. And he was praying, and he prayed in tongues. He said, here, Leanne, give the interpretation. She's like, She's like, I don't have it. He's like, yeah, you do. She's like, shanda ba da da ba sha. And then she started getting kind of an interpretation. And then she just got in the flow and the roll with it. And, you know, a lot of things we do by faith. Everything we do by faith. The just shall live by faith, right? I mean, there's not anything you do that's not of faith. Anyway, but each person, the gifts of the Spirit are going to look like the Holy Spirit, but they're going to look like you being used by the Holy Spirit for the gifts. And it says here that he activates, but the same Spirit, the same God, activates each gift in each person. Let's, like, again, you know, go back to the book of Revelation, where it says that the angels are at the temple fly around him going, holy, 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 because it's on. I believe in respect to that, it's because they're seeing a different side of him. Oh, wow, holy is the Lord. Oh, wow, holy is the Lord. You know, it's like the southern preacher, holy is the Lord. I remember the first time in a service, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got something to say. And I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to die, and I was breaking out in a sweat. I'm like, I can't do this. And I did it, and it was okay. And I'm like, okay. And, you know, right, you're going to either explode or implode. You know, one or the other is going to happen. Yeah, the first time you do it. But then after that, it becomes, for lack of a better term, it becomes natural to be supernatural, to be spiritual. Yep. Well, and Paul says, he says, covet the gifts. covet them. Covet the gifts. We're supposed to want them. You know what's funny about that is that coveting is a sin when it concerns other people and other people's stuff. But when it comes to God and his stuff, we're to covet him. Come on. And God, we know God's not double-minded. The reason for that is because it's your stuff, not mine. Right? It's yours, it's not mine. How dare I covet something that's yours and not mine? But I can covet God all I want. I can covet his presence. I can covet his gifts. I can covet being led by his Spirit. I can covet God all day long. Amen? I have all this stuff prepared for the book of Acts. But the way service went tonight, this feels the way to go. See, so this is the order of service. I told Kathy, I said, man, I've gotten so much of this stuff. I'm like, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do it now or if I'm supposed to wait. And she says, well, you know, you could just do this. And I'm like, well, I don't want to just do that. And she says, well, you know, we could, you know, do question and answer. And I thought, well, I don't know about that. And, you know, because I've seen pastors go, well, let's do question and answer. That never goes well. No. But there are, the gifts of the Spirit are classified in different, there's like the verbal gifts, the action gifts, and then another classification. But anyway, let's keep going. A demonstration, verse 7, of the Spirit is given to each person to produce what is beneficial. So when is it beneficial? Is it always beneficial? I think it's always beneficial to have a demonstration of the Spirit, especially when we meet together as a congregation. It's beneficial. Somebody might be going through something and nobody knows, but God knows. And God puts in you, you're going to give a tongue and interpretation. You're going to give a word of prophecy or a word of exhortation. And if you don't do it, then we've now just left this person. You with me? We've now just left this person who's in need of hearing something that's going to help them by not yielding to the Holy Spirit, because the demonstration is beneficial. I was just a few months after my mom had passed away. I got this, interactions from this church in Pennsylvania, and man, they're just, you know, they really want me, and so we get out there and I'm talking about the demonstration of the Holy Ghost, and one of the board members, because they have dismissed their previous pastor. They dismissed their previous pastor. They had good grounds to do it. very similar to the previous pastor here. so they had good grounds to do it. But now they have decided they like being in charge. And so they bring us out, and I'm talking about the demonstration of the Holy Ghost. Well, what's the purpose? Well, because it helps people. How does it help people? How did you guys hear about me? Well, so-and-so in the church saw your resume on the Rhema website. How does everybody else feel about the demonstration of the Holy Spirit? Well, there's a time and place for everything. By the way, did you know we have a beer club? I'm like, okay, I get where you guys are at now. You're an elder-led church that has led away from God into beer instead. And that's not to pick fun on them. I actually talked to one of the ladies that used to go to that church and left because she didn't understand why the church was elder-led and not pastor-led. beer-led. Anyway, okay, let's keep going on. Verse 8, to one is given a message of wisdom through the Spirit, to another a message of knowledge by the Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another performing of miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another different kinds of languages or tongues, glossolalia, to another interpretation of glossolalia. Languages there, the HCSB takes a liberty and calls it languages. It's glossolalia. It means tongues. It's literal translation is tongues, you know, glossolalia. And here it is. Each person to another is given. What would it be like if a church service, come on, if we had a, a word of wisdom given and a word of knowledge all in the same service. Oh my goodness. And by an act of faith by someone in the congregation. Gifts of healing and people getting out of wheelchairs. Oh my goodness, all in the same meeting. Oh my goodness. Performing of miracles to another, prophecy. And you get, you know, no more than two or three of you should prophesy. So you get three people prophesying in a service. Come on, this is for the church. That's exactly. Different kinds of tongues. So there's tongues, and there's different kinds of tongues. I speak in several different kinds of tongues and dialects. You know, I used to think that I had like a really strong Russian tongue, and but you know what? Carol Brown, who used to be here, she said that because they were in Israel for I think 10 years, and she said my tongue sounds just like the Russian Jews coming into Israel. She said, that's what my tongue sounds like. I said, I'll go for that, because I don't. If you know me well enough, you probably know I really want to be Jewish more than anything else. Interpretations of tongues. So, you know, we're all praying in tongues, and I had a tongue with an exhortation. Our sister back there, she had a tongue with an interpretation. Kathy's getting... She's getting an interpretation of things that I'm saying by the same Spirit. We're all starting to kind of mesh together in this body of Jesus Christ that's here in the earth, being led by and filled with the Spirit of God. Amen? But one and the same Spirit is active in all these, distributing to each person as he wills. So you might be used in prophecy this week, tongues and interpretation next week, a word of wisdom the following week, take a week off, come back with healings and miracles. Come on. It's the same Spirit. It's the Spirit of God. See, you know, some people, there are whole churches. They're like, well, everybody in the church is an apostle. Well, I'm sorry. It's hard to walk when everybody's a toe. I mean, you got to have some, you know, somebody's got to be the heel. Somebody's got to be the knee. It's hard. You know, I know past these leaders in churches are like, I'm a prophet, not a pastor. Well, then you need to get out of the position of the pastor that you're serving in that church, collecting the salary for it, because if you're not a pastor and you're a prophet and you can stand in the pulpit and say, I'm not a pastor, I'm a prophet, then you need to find a pastor and hand that church over, because the pastor is the one who's given to be the shepherd of the church, just like Jesus is. Same Spirit. For as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. See, we talk about being the part of the body of Christ. Jesus is one body, right? I mean, he was born into a body, he lived in a body, he went to a cross on a body, he came back in a glorified body. He ascended on the clouds in a glorified body. He walks through the churches according to the book of Revelation. He walks through the churches in his glorified body. He's watching. He's walking through the churches. But we are part of his body. I had one pastor who used to say, I'm the big toe. I bring balance to the body. I don't know about that. Looking back, I don't think there was a lot of balance there. But, you know, that's just me. What do I know? For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free. Notice here he doesn't say, and that you should release all the slaves. I'm sorry. Of course, there were standards. I mean, if you were a slave under Jewish law, you were treated like family, okay? Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. So the body is not one part, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, in spite of this, it still belongs to the body. People say, well, God never speaks to me. Well, are you part of the body? Yeah. Well, then you need to listen. Because he said, he who has ears, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the body. So each and every one of us should have our spiritual ears tuned in. This is what I talked about on Sunday night, in talking about that we hear the voice, or not Sunday night, but Sunday morning. Sunday, talking about hearing the voice of God, and the most perfect way that we can hear the voice of God is through his word. He and his word are one. And if we're not accustomed to his word, hearing him in his word, when he talks to us, we're not going to be accustomed to it. We're not going to know it's him, and we're just going to brush it off because we don't know that the word of God really said that in the first place. So how could it be God speaking to me? It's like if I didn't already know that God said to somebody, he said, "Your words have been stout against me." When I was vacuuming the stairs and he said, "Your words have been stout against me," I'm like, "Uh-oh." Well, and then I corrected it. And a month later, Josiah was on his way. Most of you have heard that story. My words were stout because I kept saying, we had this word from God that we were going to have a son and to name him Josiah. But I had experienced all the problems we'd had having children. I'd say, "Yeah, you know, we're going to have a son. His name is Josiah. And, you know, praise the Lord, we're going to have a son." And I'd say, "Well, it sure takes us a long time to get pregnant. But, you know, it's hard for us to get pregnant. You know, it's just, it takes a while." And so he corrected me on that. See, but if I didn't know that God would say, "Your words have been stout against me," if he said that, I'd say, "I rebuke you, Satan. God would never talk to me like that. That's not grace and mercy." Hello? Oh. Yes. "And if the ear should say, 'Because I'm not an eye, I don't belong in the to the body,' in spite of this, it still belongs to the body." You still belong to the body. If I belong to the body and he wants to use me, whose body am I a part of? His. Who do I belong to? Him. I'm part of his body. Can my hand say to me, "I don't want to be part of your body anymore. I'm leaving"? Well, good luck with that. How's that working for you? Right? Okay, well, why don't you come back over here and submit? See, that's the thing that it comes down to in the gifts of the Spirit and being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit, is we have to submit to it. God's never going to force us. You're not going to be sitting in the pew just, "Oh, the presence of God is so great." And he comes and grabs you by the ear and says, "Get up here, you're going to give a prophecy." No, he puts it in your heart first. You're like, "I have a word. God has given me, I get to share a word. Oh, pastor, you know. And I'll be like, "Go on, let's do it." You know why? Because it's my job as the pastor to help people, to lead people. It's my job and it's the responsibility of this church. And I believe wholeheartedly that the responsibility of this church is to prepare people for the return of the Lord. I fully believe that. And he says he's coming for a bride who's made herself ready. Book of Revelation, chapter 19, 17 or 19. His bride has made herself ready. It doesn't say the pastor made you volunteer so you could do something to get yourself ready. And that the pastor gave you all the hows you're going to do it. And the prophet came and laid hands on you and said, "Thus saith the Lord." And the apostle said, "I'm sending you out." No, it says the bride has made herself ready. We make ourselves ready by being in the Word of God, by being acquainted with and familiar with and in good relationship with the Holy Spirit, so that when it's time, we can do what he tells us to do, because we've made ourselves ready. I can't make her be ready for Jesus. I can point her in the right direction. I can point her in the right direction. I can help her. Yes, amen. And that's what it is right there. Having an open and willing heart, right? Amen. Is this okay tonight? Is this okay tonight? Oh, good. Because I wasn't prepared to do this at all. Isn't this great? You know, I'm telling you what. See, the thing is, if you have the Word of God in you, we're told to be ready in season and out of season to have a word. If we don't ever prepare ourselves, if we're not opening up the Bible, you know, it's, you know, the great big family Bible that sits on the coffee table, and you know, it was great grandma's, and you know, don't play with it, you might tear the page. Pick it up, put it someplace in a cabinet with a light on it, and get one you can touch. Get one you can open. Get one you can read. Amen. Is that Jim saying it's time? He's got the gavel, the hook out, and. By hook or by crook. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for you, Holy Spirit. We ask for greater demonstration. We ask for a greater demonstration of your moving, of your being here with us. Oh, Holy Spirit, demonstrate your presence through us on Wednesdays and on Sundays and every day in between to those that we meet in the supermarket, that we might have a word for them, that we might have faith for healings for people that we see in the line at Safeway. Father, that we would have a word of knowledge concerning somebody that's gonna draw them to you. Father, we thank you that it's not just for here, though, inside the church, because everywhere we go, we're the body of Christ. And so, Father, I just ask right now that you would, by your Holy Spirit, move in us, move through us even more and more all the time. Holy Spirit, we submit to you. We submit to the gifts that you have for us. We submit to the leading that you provide for us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.